It's Just Because I Love You Day. I'm Amanda, and you're Carla when you listen to this podcast. Today, Marla is once again in the driver's seat with a special surprise announcement, and we're also answering a few questions from you, listener. Have we ever waded into the comment section of social media and then handled it badly? Boy, have we. Listen in now.
There's a lot happening. Smooth like butter.
That was very smooth.
So smooth.
That was a smooth transition.
I'm impressed. I pat myself on the back.
Are we recording?
Yep.
Oh. No. Wow.
You didn't even know. And
you,
she didn't have to, for the record, she didn't have to restart it or do it over again.
No, I didn't.
Okay, before we even go anywhere else, okay. I have a very important thing.
What?
I have a limerick.
No, it better not be that limerick. No. Otherwise, we're going to rate this one R.
No, it's not the dirty one that I shared with you guys the other day.
Which made me laugh.
Megan's struggling to understand what makes a thing a limerick. And so really? I just keep coming up with examples and then sharing them, hoping eventually it just clicks.
The old woman who lived in a shoe is a limerick.
Hey, look, I understand poems. I get it. But
that's,
I don't know why certain poems are... Okay. Like the metering,
right,
and the like syllables.
You,
I
can't
understand,
hear
syllables.
It?
No, I
here's,
can't hear it.
Here's the limerick pattern. I've put it on my phone.
Well, we might have to pause for a second because Finley
hang on.
Is
we
not
will
about
pause,
poetry.
This is super important.
Did she?
Okay, there we go.
I was scared.
All right, apparently Mandy is going to school me in poetry. Limerick specifically.
Congratulations, Marla. She just survived her first pause and
this unpause. Is so interesting to me that you were a dancer who literally feels rhythm and cannot do poetry.
Okay. This is how
I can
works
feel
out.
It. I don't make it
the,
up.
The structure is A-A-B-B-A.
Cool. I like formulas.
Okay. A and A rhyme, B and B rhyme. A obviously goes back to the same rhyme as the first two again. So okay. Here it is on my phone. A-A-B-B-A. Okay. And I have turned this into a limerick. Okay. Goes like this. Limericks use patterns sublime. The first and the second lines rhyme. The third line is new. The fourth does that too. Number five uses I'm one more time.
Okay. Oh, I can get that. Wow. But why is that a limerick? Is it just that's because just, it's A-A-B-B-A?
Yes. A-A-B-B-A. And usually B and B are shorter. So you've got long, long, short, short, long.
Is okay. That the iambic pentameter type? Or is that just something different?
I don't remember what iambic pentameter
is. No, because I think that one's used by Shakespeare, isn't it?
Maybe.
And his is all over the place.
It's different. The structure is specifically the fact that those two in the middle are shorter and rhyme with just each other. And then
so
you go
there's
back
two
to
variables. Beginning. There's the A-A-B-B-A rhyming structure, and there's also the length.
Long, long, short, short, long.
I remember doing that in school.
Yes.
I totally remember that.
It's just like trying to build a haiku. It's just the limerick has different rules.
And what
rules.
Did you say is, which Mother Goose?
Old woman who lived in the shoe.
There was an old woman who lived in the shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. She gave them some broth. Oh, no, it would have to have, broth would have to rhyme with
A-A.
Yeah, broth and loaf or something like that. It says she gave them some broth without any bread, which does not rhyme. Nope.
Yeah, it does with and spanked them all soundly and sent them
that's
to bed.
Not a limerick. It's not a limerick.
That would be A-A-B-B-C-C.
Well, then you're missing a line because it is a limerick.
Ew, okay. Write us, Carla. Help us out. Other famous limericks that are actually safe for this recording, unlike the one that I shared yesterday. I thought if it was a little off color, it might stick, but
no. I really like yours because it's literally describing
it.
A limerick.
Right. It's
enjoy
the structure.
That.
So anyway, that was just a little tangent.
Yeah, just a little ditty in there. Okay, so I have a special announcement. It's a special surprise announcement. I'm like, how many other words can I add? So each of you get to ask a question to see if you can figure out what the special announcement is.
Is it about you?
No.
Oh.
Wow. Well, that ruins that question, Tabby. That, I know Carla's thinking of it, too.
First question.
Eliminate pregnancy. Not about me.
Is it about the podcast?
Yes, in a way. Yes.
Did a Carlo reach out to us?
No. Okay, so I'm going to send you each... a photo. So don't look at your phones yet until I tell you, okay? Because I have to send it. I have to send it separately to Megan and Mandy. I sent it through Facebook Messenger, and to Tabby.
Oh, did you hear that?
Oh, don't look at it.
Just hold on. And to Tabby, I sent it via text.
Uh-oh, I already looked at it then.
No, I just sent it just now.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the one you sent this morning.
It's a photo.
Okay. Go. Somebody is pregnant that we've talked about on our podcast. So go, everybody look at the photo.
Everybody's pregnant.
What is that? Carla, I know you can't see right now, but I'll be sure to share it in our Instagram story today. Four sisters, one savior, all numerals.
Please tell me what? It's a joke.
Just a second, Kate.
Like, so they are looking at a picture of Lil Nas X, if you guys remember the Satan shoes.
Yes, he is a black rapper. Male.
Black male.
That's rapper.
Biologically male.
And he's gay.
And he's gay. And he's pregnant.
No, he's not.
With his next album that's dropping in 10 days.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, then you know what? I will giggle about this. He, Carla, let me describe the photo, and you can probably see it in our comments or whatever, but he's wearing this beautiful flowing white gown that a woman would wear, this flower crown. He's holding a bouquet of white roses, kneeling by this beautiful, like, crystallized pool with greenery in the background. I mean, it's everything that you imagine, like, those, like, pregnancy photos to be,
there's
right?
A lot of other, if you go to his Instagram, there's a lot of
pictures. Did a whole shoot.
There's a lot. I am suspicious that he's having it put on every day, or like he's posting regularly with on TikTok, like all these different things. But what's funny is, I mean, when I first saw it, because somebody had shared it, I thought, okay, he's a male. So I was just kind of like having to wrap my head around it. But I think he did it wrong. I think he should have started at 10 or 8 weeks. Like, I think he should have made the announcement. Than you normally would. And like, that would have really
And comparing
thrown,
it to fruit.
That would have really thrown people off. But because he just now, like a month or two out, started talking about it, it's like, well, I mean.
That's not a normal gestation, Lil Nas. Right.
So we know. We get it.
You know what's crazy? Is little that Lil Nas. We live in a world where a man posts a picture of him looking pregnant, and I'm immediately like, is he biologically male?
I thought it was going to be like a gender conversation, but no, this actually kind of makes me giggle.
Biological female this whole time.
I gotta admit, I'm a little disappointed with my surprise.
Come on.
I kind of was hoping it was somebody we actually knew.
I was kind of hoping for chocolate chip cookies.
Ooh. Hey, there's brownies in there.
Oh, okay.
Let that be enough.
That's better. Now I feel less disappointed.
You sound a lot like an Israelite.
I really? We're comparing Lil Nas to manna. Is that what we're doing?
The manna was the brownie. This is a man.
Maybe.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like this podcast is sliding. Maybe we should answer questions from Carla.
Let's do the questions. I took the headphones off because I think they were triggering Finley.
The headphones.
She's like fine now that they're not on for the most part.
She wanted to wear them.
She wants all the colors.
She wants to touch the buttons.
Do you want
to
wear those, Finley? Oh, you look so cool. Look how official you are. Aww. You're a baby podcaster. She really doesn't mind them.
She kind of likes them.
Like, all right.
Okay. We'll go with
Megan's
going to
take a picture too.
Oh, they fell off.
Come here.
Hopefully I got one. Oop, I just took a picture of the table.
Okay, so let's start with our first question that we can answer. Okay, they're a little long, so bear with me. Could you remember a time when you waded into the comment section and then ended up handling it badly or realizing you were actually wrong about something? What did you do next? What's the best thing to do?
Okay, so we're talking about social media.
Yes.
Because we talk about social media a lot. And one of our listeners was asking, okay, so has there ever been a time where you went to talk to somebody on social media and ended up handling it badly? Yeah. And I would say we wouldn't be human if that hadn't happened before.
I have a story, since everybody seems to be
like we may need a
crying and leaving.
We're going to pause again.
Okay, we're back.
We sent the children outside.
It's so quiet right now.
We can see them through that giant window.
Yes, we can.
So we still may end up jumping up at some point. Oh, just a second, you know, but right now we're okay. So
my story.
Yes, your story about social media.
Personal story. Mandy had posted, as she does, something very triggering to people. And it got shared
a few times. Wait, what was
it? I don't know. I tried to find it. It was
There's
years
so many.
Ago. Well, if you remember what it was, just speak up. Because it was years ago. It was before we started podcasting.
Oh, I think because you told us earlier this week what you were going to talk about. Did it have to do with Black Lives Matter and police statistics?
No.
Oh, crud. Okay, go on.
Oh, that's a different story.
That would have been prevalent years ago.
That was one where you ended up deleting it.
Right, that's a whole other story.
Rule number one, don't delete.
Okay. This story has to do with me being mad at people because they were attacking my sister-in-law, Carla. And so, and I agreed with whatever she posted. And I noticed that somebody that was attacking her pretty heavily was a group that appeared to be a group for anti-vax. Again, this is well before COVID.
Oh my goodness, I don't remember this at all. Okay. Go on.
And I was like, and so here I am, I'm going, who are these people that are attacking my sister-in-law? And so I clicked on their Facebook page and I did not do due diligence. I didn't even look at their about. I just looked at their like little like emblem and their like little cover photo and the name. And I was like, so I posted on her post, it looks like it's an, I was like, who are these people? It looks like they're anti-vax. Carla, I messed up because I don't know why I did that. They screenshotted me and posted in their group and I still had their page okay, open.
I kind of remember this.
And they're just like, they even think we're anti-vax. Ha ha ha. They're ridiculous. They have no idea what they're talking about. I did not help her reputation at all. And of course I have my maiden name in my name as like Megan McKinney West. And obviously her name is Amanda McKinney on Facebook. And so they're just like, these people are crazy. And I was like, crap. Because then I looked at their about and I realized they're not. It's like a satire group, which I usually enjoy satire. But I didn't do the due diligence to figure out that they were satire. They were very pro-vax. They were, it's literally a group to make fun of anti-vaxxers. And so I commented under my screenshot. They didn't even do the nice thing where they blur out the name. And I was like, hey, that's me. And I go, I owe everybody in this group an apology. I realized that I messed up. Like, I did not see, I didn't even check your about. Like, I should have done the due diligence of checking out your details and whatnot before trying to basically take your name through the mud. And they're just like,
as you can see, it really scarred me and my reputation.
Yeah, totally.
I've never even heard about this
either. I remember
it
so clearly because of how much damage it did to my
personal. Well, I mean, it was a good lesson because I was like, ooh, I need to fact check anything before like I post. Like it was just, it was a really good lesson to learn.
I think
they were very forgiving though.
I think if I remember correctly, it was an abortion post and it was a feminist group.
It could have been, but it was definitely anti-vax.
Yes.
Might have been a feminist anti-vax, but
my post was anti-vax?
Oh, I don't know what your post was about. That's what I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm saying I thought it had to do with abortion. Like, my post was originally about abortion. Because that's how I usually upset the feminist groups.
That's how I have lately.
They did forgive me, though, in case Carla's wondering. They forgave me, and they laughed with me. They invited me to join their group.
Yes.
And they said, but your sister-in-law is not allowed.
Right. Which is what I was going to say. They didn't actually forgive you. They just thought that maybe they could convince you to hate me as much as they do. No,
what made me giggle, though, was they were like, are you related to her? And it felt very much like the people in the courtyard going to Peter and saying, do you know you were with that Jesus? Right. And Peter denying them. And I was like, I'm not going to deny my sister-in-law. That'd be ridiculous. Not that she's Jesus, but like, I was like, nope, she's my sister-in-law and I stand with her post. And they were like, and I was like, I'm going to bow out now. And they're like, no, you can stay. You're nicer than her.
Right.
Yeah.
You agreed with us a little bit.
That
so we like
way
you.
Way more about trying to stick it to me than it was about trying to make a new friend. But that's okay. Yeah, I maybe vaguely remember. I think it was my culture critic page, which was my public page, not my personal page. And yeah, I used to post all kinds of stuff about like current events or, you know, things that were taking place in politics mainly. And anytime there was something that had to do with abortion, like, you know, oh, they're apparently letting pimps take their young, underage, you know, girls to other states to get abortions without parental consent and, you know, things like that. And that always triggers
the feminists. It was probably the parental consent that, like, really hit hard with the vaxxers.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I don't know how all of it, really.
Okay, so to go back to Carla, to your question, you eat your humble pie.
Yep.
That's what you do. You eat your humble pie, but you also stand on what you truly believe. Like, I did not back down when they accused me of being, you know, are you related to that woman? No, I am absolutely related, and I stand by what she posted. You stand up for what you believe, but you apologize and you eat your humble pie for misrepresenting facts or whatever.
Well, in my general rule is not to bring up things that are you know, tangential to the actual conversation for that reason. Like, even if they were anti-vax, it wasn't relevant to whatever the conversation was, which is why that's kind of, that's close to an ad hominem attack if it isn't an ad hominem attack already, because it's like,
are we going to jump down to number three already?
That's not relevant. You know, if they are talking about what I was talking about, then that's part of the conversation. But to bring up something else about them that's not necessarily part of the conversation is a foul.
Can you bring up, hold on, Tabby. I don't want to lose my train of thought. This baby distracts me. She still is right now.
Can you bring up the fact that they are vegan for all the reasons, but they're pro-choice?
Oh, this is a whole nother conversation, Carla.
Yeah, I mean, if it...
It seems relevant.
If you're talking about morality as a general umbrella, and you're talking about what's right and what's wrong, then there's a lot of things that could be relevant to the conversation.
I usually let them bring it up first. If they're like, well, the reason I think X is right or wrong is because animals, and we love animals, then I can be like, okay, so you're going to apply these standards to animals. You're not going to apply your same standards to people. But it's much easier to just let them sort of steer the conversation, and then you follow them. It's, you know, make them defend their beliefs, make them defend their stance. It's why I actually don't post my own starting topics. Like, I very rarely post, quote unquote, on abortion. I usually find somebody else has posted about abortion, and I will come into their comment section and just start poking holes at it, because right. It's easier to do that. I don't have to apologize as much.
It's harder to find a person who's willing to make a claim these days, though. Like, if you ask a person what they believe or ask for their justification, 9 times out of 10, they're not even going to try to give you one. And so then, yes, it becomes very difficult to continue the conversation, because you need to get them to stand somewhere. They need to take a stand and make a statement so that you can then poke the holes in it. And if you become the person making statements and taking stands, then you become the person that they're trying to poke holes in.
Well, I think because abortion is really relevant, one of the questions you can ask is it ever okay to kill a child, you know, in or outside the womb? What makes it different when a child is in the womb versus...
You can try. Well,
they have answers for all that.
Yeah, you can try.
Yeah.
Just and like we have answers too. Like, that's the thing. It's like we have our own talking sheet, and so do they.
Well, yeah, they'll, I mean, hands down, the first thing they'll say is, no, it's not okay to kill a child. That's not a child. Done.
Yeah, right.
A lot of them aren't saying that anymore.
Really?
No, they don't care that it's a child. Oh. Literally, I saw, well, somebody called it a clump of cells, but
they don't think it's a baby.
They usually dehumanize it.
That clump of cells doesn't owe you anything.
Right, because they don't actually think it's a baby. Because if they were to say, I have very, very, very rarely, I've heard of people doing it, very, very rarely heard somebody say, yes, it's a human being, yes, it's a baby, and I still don't care. They usually just say, well, it's not a baby, it's a parasite. It's a clump of cells. It's a fetus. It's a...
If you took it out of you, it couldn't survive.
Right.
One of my favorite things I saw recently was a guy who's very, very on our side for many, pretty much everything. But he said, pro-choicers, you are a clump of cells. Like, everyone's a clump of cells.
Right. It's a heart thing. You can logic your way through it, and it works a lot of the times, at least to make them angry, and it puts like little pebbles in their shoes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, because we've actually talked about this on earlier podcasts, I do think you can change people's minds on social media. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can change the mind of the person who made the statement in the first place. I think it's for people who are watching, people who are already in the comments. I think it's for people who stumble upon it a month later.
Yeah. That are like liking replies and stuff, but they never reply themselves.
Not even that. I never liked a single thing on Facebook for anybody. Even Mandy's stuff, I would watch from afar and think about it and talk about it. And so I do think you change people's minds, but it's not going to happen to the person you're with. And so the idea is, for me, in order to make sure that I don't have to do too much apologizing, is I let them make statements, and I usually come back with questions, because I don't want to misrepresent their position and make them back themselves into a corner where, like Mandy said, eventually they're going to have to take an official stance, or they don't, they get mad and they bow out. Yeah. And then they block you. And then
that's always helpful.
I call that a win.
Yep. I win that. It's like, oh good. I was not really looking forward to having to walk you through this anyway. So
yeah, all I did is you would rather block me than take a stance. So I win.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I will say that earlier this week, I got blocked, and then I got on a different account and went after someone.
Marla.
And I got blocked again.
Marla got very aggressive.
I was
aggressive.
Using this as an example of something you shouldn't do, and I repented, and I said, God, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I let my feelings and emotions get the best of me, and I'm definitely not a newbie at doing this, so I think there's going to be times where you still may say things.
Marla had to eat her humble pie.
The fact that you even have multiple accounts to do that with is what's cracking me up.
She did it on our account.
Yeah.
Oh, I figured.
I figured. Been blocked by the four on the Four Sisters page on Instagram.
Oh, I figured that's what it was. I'm just saying.
I had two more. I could have kept going. I felt convicted at that point. Okay, let's move on to the next question so we make sure we cover them all. Okay, what are your favorite ways to respond when you're on the receiving end of a well-reasoned argument, but one of your counterpart's major premises is that you're a horrible person?
Okay, I'm going to answer this one.
Wait.
Never happens. I have never been on the receiving end of a well-reasoned argument where somebody resorts to name-calling, ever, period. Oh. Next question.
Yeah. See, that's what I was asking.
That's never happened.
How can that be well-reasoned if the only argument is you're stupid?
I would need an example, Carla. Like, who has ever made a well-reasoned argument that isn't the pro-life argument or the pro-marriage argument or the pro-Jesus-God argument? Like, who has ever made, because to me, the well-reasoned arguments are the ones that are on the side of truth, and Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. So if somebody is making that well-reasoned argument, they're one of us.
Yeah.
They're a Christian, and I have never, ever, 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 ever heard a well-reasoned argument from an atheist who wasn't on their way to becoming a Christian.
Yep. They must be perceiving it as well-reasoned, but what she actually must mean is, I had never heard that position before, and now I don't know how to answer it. Therefore, it must be a good argument. It's probably still not a good argument. It just means you need to think about it a minute.
Well, and I think, to your point, it's okay to say, I haven't heard that before. Yeah. I haven't thought about that before.
Yeah.
I need some time to process that. Like, you don't want to come at an argument thinking you know it all if you don't know it all. Like we've talked about on our last episode, it's okay to be a know-it-all. You should be a know-it-all, but if there's times where you don't know it all,
okay,
you need to accept that.
So, Carla, Mandy mentioned the hominem fallacy.
Ad hominem.
Ad hominem. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Ad hominem fallacy. And that's a debating. You see it in politics a lot. It's a debating tactic. So if you want to look that up. It's not a good one.
No, it's
but
bad.
It is. Actually, no. You know what? It is a good one because we are very easily manipulated by emotions.
Well, it's what they were doing when they were saying to you, you're crazy, you're making your sister-in-law look crazy, you feel bad even to this day about that. And it's funny because when I hear you tell that story, I think, oh, that's great. That proves that they were wrong all along. Mm-hmm. But you still have some residual feelings about supposedly making me look bad. And I've internalized the idea that the person calling me names is the one who always looks bad. Like, ones who are wrong.
I feel bad that I didn't do the due diligence of fact checking. Like, that was on me. And I'm like, man, like, that was a newbie.
But the point is that it is an ad hominem attack on their part when they call you a dirty, rotten person who doesn't fact check. Like, if they say, you're a non-fact checker. It doesn't matter. It's not part of what we were talking about.
Yeah. And it wasn't, and I don't even remember the post she posted, Carla, because I'm so fixated on the ad hominem attack.
Yes.
And let me tell you.
That's why they do it.
Is that the bunny trail? Is that when they get off on bunny trails?
No, ad hominem is to the man. It's Latin for to the man. So you attack a person's character to try to discredit them.
Okay.
Yes. So if you want to look up examples.yourdictionary.com, ad hominem, it will give you different examples. And it's also going to give you how to combat it and counter their attack in two moves.
Ooh, chess.
Wow, yeah. So it says to point out the irrelevance of the emotional testimony they just introduced to their argument. Point out their personal attack on you and highlight how it has nothing to do with the argument at hand. So call it out. Basically call it out. Number two, once you've exposed their weakness. Wow, yourdictionary.com, I'm impressed with you. Once you've exposed their weakness, move on. Take the high road. You might say something to the effect of, I understand you think I'm X, Y, and Z, but that has nothing to do with what we're actually discussing here. So I'm not going to entertain it any longer.
Mandy actually has already said this to us, and we get to practice this quite a bit in our daily lives, to be honest. Not only with other family members, but my children are really good at ad hominem, where I will say, just today, I said, Marcy, you need to put on your shoes. And she goes, but my hand hurts. And I said, okay, you still need to put on your shoes. And then she goes, but you're the meanest. And I said, yep, that's sure great. You still need to put your shoes on.
There you go. But you're the meanest.
But you're the meanest. And I was like, yep.
They're just throwing stuff out there to see if they can take back control of the situation.
Maybe mommy will break down and cry. She's fragile today. And I won't have to put my shoes on.
Right. Yep. But you just have to really, really hold on to the topic at hand.
Right.
Focus shoes. Like a laser on what the goal is. And if it's putting on your shoes, then stick to putting on the shoes. And if it's talking about the Bible, you know, or the truth of God's word or whatever it is, make sure you stay there unflappable and unwavering no matter what other completely off the wall thing gets tossed.
And they will try to really pull at like your heartstrings a lot. They'll tell you a story, a really, really sob story, and you're...
That's different. That is another logical fallacy, but it's not ad hominem.
Okay.
You can actually get them to ad hominem very, very quickly and almost like being blocked. It's when I've gone, okay, you don't have a well-reasoned argument. That's what we were talking about with question number two, is all you have to do is find your laser topic and say it. You don't even have to, I mean, come up with a sentence, one sentence that you just repeat over and over and over. And after about 3-4 posts of that, they will very quickly start hurling things at you.
Kind of like the less is more thing. The less you can say, that shows how concise you are.
Right.
And how sure you are of what you're saying, because it's like having an elevator speech. It's like, this is what I'm saying over and over again.
And by the way, the one that you're talking about when they try to tug at your heartstrings is called the appeal to emotion fallacy. It's a little bit different. If they're trying to get you off track in one way or another, there might be different fallacies at play, but they're all basically just trying to distract you. So I guess back to the question, which was, how do you handle a well-reasoned argument when they're calling you names? It's like, I don't. If they're calling me names, that's the end. And it's not a well-reasoned argument. Yeah. So
to be fair to these, I keep saying people, these hypotheticals, the people that we have.
Why do you want to be fair to a hypothetical person? Hey, guess what? My phone's ringing.
Jeez.
Take it away. I'm going to go answer this.
Because I don't want it to seem like they're intentionally wading in the weeds to throw ad hominems and appeal to emotions. They don't actually know that they're committing fallacies. These people don't practice debate. They were never formally debaters. They've spent their whole life not knowing how to create well-reasoned arguments. It's part of the reason why they hold the beliefs that they do. It's because that's all that's ever worked is, it just feels good to say this, or, you know, but I have an emotional story, or now that's not working, so now I'll try name calling. It's not like they're sitting here putting together like, now I'm going to do ad hominem. It's like, no, they just kind of fly by the seat of their pants. So whatever tactic is being thrown at you, actually, you should probably go and do some research on all the fallacies, because all of a sudden you'll start seeing it
everywhere.
And it does. It makes things so much easier when you don't have to wade through all of the emotional stories, when you don't have to wade through all the insults thrown at you, straw man arguments, all of it. When you see all those, you're like, oh, okay. Well, they're just feelings. They're just feeling their way through this. I'm the only one that actually put out a position. Mm-hmm. And now they're trying to poke holes at it, but they're not doing it very well.
Well, and you can have some compassion too, because they've probably been making these decisions based on these fallacies, on their feelings, based on their emotions. It's what works with them, so they're going to use it to work on others. Okay. And in a way, that's really sad. So, I mean, I guess yourdictionary.com is right. I should be sponsored right now. Take the high road, point it out, say that doesn't, that's, that has nothing irrelevant to do with the argument. That's irrelevant. You have they could even be valid. Like, that person's a horrible person. Yeah, that's probably valid, but it's irrelevant to our argument right now. And then move on.
As a Christian, you can even agree with them if you want. I am a horrible person. That's why I have Jesus. He will not find somebody more wretched than I. I have never claimed
Paul
to be anything better.
Okay, I'm going to move on to the last question because we are almost at the 30-minute mark, but I want to get all these questions in. Okay, do you think it's a valid tactic to respond to people using their own fallacies? For example, they make a false assumption, so you use a false assumption against them. They misinterpret your position, so you purposely misinterpret theirs. Why or why not? I would also add, I feel like
maybe we could include like pronoun assumptions, using their terminology against them sort of thing. We've kind of talked about this before.
I'd say yes, but then again, my position of sarcasm is usually very frowned upon in the Christian circles. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything wrong with sarcasm. I don't think there's anything wrong with using their tactics against them, but you have to know why you're doing it and what you're doing. For example, Mandy and I, before I left Facebook, there was a woman who was making a, I don't even know what you would call it. It was an assumption about Trump. It was a political post, an assumption about Trump. And we were trying to point out to her why this was a bad argument, why this was a bad assumption. And I think she was begging the question, if you want the actual terminology. And so we were using that tactic on her personally. Mm. And by the end of it, she's like, you guys are just being bullies. And we were like, yes, yes, we are. That's the whole point. Right. Is we're so trying
you. Did she ever get you. It? Did she ever understand that, like, it was a coming full circle?
I don't know. I don't know if she did. Again, my philosophy is probably not. It's for everybody else who is following along. I don't know. I don't think she ever got it, because for her, it's not a mean thing to do to a political figure. Right. It's only mean because it's happening don't like anyways. To me.
Right.
But the point was, is yes, we were like, ding, 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 you got it. See, like what you're doing is what we're doing, and it's not good.
And the first thing she'll say is, that's not the same. Because I just had this conversation about LGBT issues, and it was, I would say, love is love. Like, why isn't that same true? Same or pedophiles, if that's the truth. Yeah. So I'm using their language, I'm using it, you know, kind of against them. And the first thing they said is, absolutely, that is not true. And I say, why isn't it true? And they, you know, they had their answers for me. And I was like, oh, okay, now what? Where do you go from there?
You just, like you I don't. Said, you can use it. You can use their
like
stuff.
It's a really interesting argument, and it's a really interesting debate. But it's, I don't think it's going to convince the person you're talking to. If that's your goal, Carla, it's not gonna, I guess, I don't say work. It's not a formula. It'll probably light a fire.
There's the morality issue where, okay, where are your beliefs coming from then? Like if it's not okay for this, then, but why is it okay for that?
Right.
And a lot of times people haven't even thought that far ahead, and they're most likely not ready. I mean, not that they're, who are we to know if somebody's ready or not, but it's like, it's good that you point it out. But it may go over their heads.
It helps to know that when you're going into a debate or an argument with somebody, especially somebody who's not a Christian, that they do not apply logic and reasoning across the board. Morality is compartmentalized. Thoughts are compartmentalized. So when
they go by feelings. It just doesn't feel
good. And feelings, right. So when you have done enough, I mean, this has been going on for generations now. And so when you have enough good feelings or enough of it in their face, they can start to accept things like homosexuality, if that's what you're talking about. And love is love. Well, that's been preached to them. They don't actually know why that argument is good or bad. All they know is how to repeat stuff. So when you say homosexuality is good, love is love, they're like, yes, yes, it is. And you say, okay, well, let's apply that logic, this idea, this morality across the board to things. They're like, well, why would you do that? That's just not the same. Pedophilia is wrong. Well, why is it wrong? Because it is.
Because it's illegal.
Well, why is it illegal?
Yeah, or it's illegal.
It hurts children. Right. That's usually the argument.
That is why we seem frustrating, is because we have consistency and logic and reasoning that spans across multiple different topics, because we have a whole standard of truth. And we can apply it to different things, and we can apply it liberally. They only know how to put things in a box and say, this is good, this is bad, that's it. So now,
I would argue, though, your best bet, rather than trying to use the same fallacy in a different way, like a new analogy, would be to just point out the fallacy itself.
Yeah, you can still do that. And I would start with that. But if they don't get it, there's nothing morally wrong. I'm assuming that's what she asked. If you're talking about debate-wise or morality-wise, there is absolutely nothing wrong with using their own language. It usually short-circuits them pretty quickly. Because again, it's all about phrases and compartmentalization. So when you say, what you're doing is bullying, they go, uh-oh, bullying? That's bad. Bullying's bad. And
no,
she's
I'm
saying,
not.
I'm bullying.
No, I'm not.
But that doesn't make any sense. And it's like, yes, 100% use their own words, because they don't know how to apply it. They just know that thing's bad. Oh, well, no.
I think it's important to, one, you not lie.
Well, yeah, don't lie.
We don't want to do things that are getting ourselves in trouble. So not lying. Like Tabby said, checking your motivation. Are you doing this to hurt them? Are you, you know...
Are you doing this out of feelings?
Right. Are you doing it because you have big feels, which is what happened with me and that person? Well, really, I just felt like she needed to hear what I had to say.
Very, very badly.
Because she was being a hypocrite. She was calling me something, and I was like, you're doing the same thing. She was like, well, I'm friends with them. I'm like, what are the other rules
so
then
she for this? Chained her to the radiator and forced her to listen.
There you go. That would have been an example of using her own words against her. And then when she blocks you, you just go, okay.
Yeah, she was like, well, the conversation was going nowhere. I'm like, no, it was just going the direction you didn't want it to go, actually. Right.
We've got to be. I've just got back from my home phone call. We've got to be over.
You know me. If I'm on, I'm letting it go a little longer. I'm
sorry. So we usually push.
Well, wait, I was going to say one more thing.
Go ahead. I'm just saying it's got, you got like 30 seconds or so after you push the button.
So. Okay. So I was going to say, remember to submit questions for our Q&A podcast episode, which will either be the end of the season or the premiere of season 2. But if you would please label them in the email to us, foursistersonesavior@gmail.com. It will also be in the episode description so you know.
Yeah. And do let us know if you're like, hey, these are burning questions and I would love for you guys to answer them sooner.
Yes.
We can do that too.
We can do that. Yeah. This whole episode was dedicated to these questions because... we've been kind of meaning to talk about.
Sorry. Speaking of burning questions, our kids have had burning questions this entire episode. Every one of them knocking, ringing doorbell.
Oh, okay, my baby's I'm gonna keep
asking. It takes a second to kind of fade in. Oh boy, do you hear the there chaos?
Yep,
in the background.
There's the chaos.
Bye, Carla.
Thank you for joining us for Just Because I Love You Day. You can also find us on MeWe in the group Four Sisters Birth and Motherhood Counseling and on Instagram, Four Sisters One Savior. Those are numerals. We also have an email account, foursistersonesavior@gmail.com. And those are also numerals, not words. Four Sisters One Savior. See you next time.